cannot believe probably how much I would encourage you to be responsible for your own actions. And this would be a puzzlement to many people who would say, Martin, you say that God does everything. Then why do I have to be responsible for my own actions? Hello, everyone. Again, this is Martin Zender. And you have to see both these things. It's another example of the two channels, responsibility, accountability. Relative responsibility, absolute responsibility. You can't continually blame other people for your problems, even though other people are responsible for your problems. There's a name for this in psychiatry. I just don't know what it is. But there comes a point when dealing with someone who needs treated, say for drugs or for alcohol or for an anger issue or for emotional abuse suffered from childhood, you need to eventually release the person who was responsible for bringing you to your point of decimation, whether it was a father, evil father, abuser of some kind, and then you are now responsible for your own behavior. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're supposed to be good and be pure and be this wonderful person who never had a problem. It's just that now you become responsible for the cure. You now have to work through your issues. Unfortunately, you have an uphill battle. You have more of a struggle than other people will have who have not gone through these circumstances. Other people have other struggles. You're going to have your struggles. It comes down to the fact that in our world, as we're living this life, we cannot continuously maintain a victim mentality. Again, it helps to know the absolute viewpoint. Talked about that yesterday with sin operating in me. It's nice to know that. But now, coming down to our world now, we are responsible. And I can say that without apology, as long as people realize I'm talking relatively. Because again, I can say it both ways. You're responsible and God's responsible. I mean, I could blame the weather for being in a crappy mood. And I did. I used to do that in Ohio. Zender, why are you so down? It's a frickin' sun. I got seasonal affective disorder. So I can rightly blame the sun. And I do, and I did. It's the weather. But I was responsible for it in the sense that I didn't consider myself a victim. I could do something about it. Move to somewhere where the sun shines. Or when I was in Ohio, I would tan. I would get into a tanning bed just to get that ultraviolet light. I used to buy those ultraviolet light boxes. I would stare into a box of light. I would do these things to help myself. Otherwise, I just sit there and I just flip the sun the bird all day. How helpful is that? It's the victim mentality where you don't help yourself. I'm not saying either that God helps those who help themselves, because that assumes the ridiculous argument that God is waiting for you to do something before he does something. That's ridiculous. Again, God is the one who put us in these predicaments so that we can get ourselves, quote, out of them. But of course, God is operating all. God works in us to live. God works in us to work, to will, and to work for the sake of his delight. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 and Acts 17. In him we live and move and are. So that's the backdrop and the backstop to all these activities that we do. We can't do anything except of God. We can't move except of God. We can't breathe. Our heart doesn't beat apart from the energizing power of God. Through him all things consist. All things cohere. We read the other day in Colossians. But apart from that, I mean, not apart from it, but putting that on the back shelf for a minute, take an aspirin. Go to a counselor. Chew a Nicorette gum to help get over your smoking. Take your packs of cigarette to the cigarettes to the landfill, to the trash. You see, so I'm holding you responsible for letting me know when the show is over. That type of thing. This is life. This is what we are to do constantly. But when we're standing before God, and this is the main point of today's show, when we're standing for God, before God, we are each to give an account of ourselves to God, an account. This is different than responsibility, because now we're no longer relating to people, relative viewpoint, when we're standing before God. We're no longer having these issues between each other where I hold you responsible, but not you. Or where those who influenced us for ill or for good are there in our circumference, in our periphery, where we can blame them. Now we're standing before God, and now it is known to everyone, to ourselves, and certainly to God, that we were not responsible for a dang thing that happened down here. That we were ultimately victims or beneficiaries, if your viewpoint's been raised, of God's plan for our life, our lives, which is always good, always has the best in mind for us. This is why on that day, when we appear before God in Christ, Paul says that we will give an account of ourselves to God. An accounting is different than being responsible. God's not going to be there. Again, it's just us and him, or us and Christ, who's acting on the behalf of God. And there's not going to be any issue of you, bad person, because we're not responsible ultimately, but we give an account. And in Romans 14, verse 11, well, let's start with verse 10. Why are you scorning your brother? For all of us shall be presented at the dais of God. So none of us ought to be scorning our brother. We can certainly help our brother. We can point out flaws and be helpful. We can point out problems. And Paul does say in one place that the saints are to be judging. Paul says, is there not one spiritual man or woman among you who can judge among you? He says man, sorry. He doesn't say woman. He says man. Is there not someone in your ecclesia who can judge between the saints? This is a relative judging. But Paul is saying here, let me back up a little bit in verse 10, why are you judging your brother? Someone could say that this verse in Romans 14 is that where I am? Romans? Yeah, is contradicting 1 Corinthians, is it 3 or 6? 6, I think, where Paul tells people to judge among themselves. What about this contradiction or apparent contradiction? Let's go to that passage. In 1 Corinthians 6, if the world is being judged by you, are you unworthy of the least tribunals? Paul starts this section in 1 Corinthians 6 by saying, are you not aware the saints shall judge the world? And if the world is being judged by you, are you unworthy of the least tribunals? That is, tribunals here on earth. Are you not aware that we should be judging messengers, not to mention life's affairs? If indeed then you should have tribunals for life's affairs, the contemptible and the ecclesia, these you are seating? He's abashing them for this. And then he says in verse 5, thus is there not among you one wise man who will be able to adjudicate, that is to judge, amidst his brethren? But no, brother is suing brother, and this before unbelievers. So Paul is saying, let's judge among yourselves. This is a judgment of working things out practically in life. My dog pooped in your yard, there's going to be restitution. I have to pick up the poop. That's a judgment. The judgment in Romans 14 is you're condemning a person. You're judging them, and you're judging them in the sight of God, not in the sight of the dog or another man or a woman. But Paul says that before one's own master, one will stand or fall, and indeed one will stand, because God loves us all and Christ died for us all. So this is a much deeper thing about judging someone in order to curse them, in order to cause God, if it were possible, to have a bad opinion of someone. So I say this to you in order to let you know that we are not blamed ultimately. When we're standing before Christ and before God after the snatching away, we are not blamed for what we do. We don't come into judgment at all. It is true that worldly people come into judgment at the great white throne, but not even they are blamed. Not absolutely. Yeah, it does say in Romans, why is God still blaming Pharaoh? For God is the one that made Pharaoh hard. So I'm going to wind that statement back a little bit and say that God does blame, but he doesn't hold responsible. That's the word I started with. That's the word I want to stay with. Ultimately speaking, none of us are responsible for who we are, what we have become, what we've done. And if this is true, then let's be consistent and say that when we're standing before God in Christ, neither are we responsible there. But we give an account, very careful wording. I didn't get to that part yet, the part I was looking for. Eventually here, we shall all be presented. Why are you judging your brother? Why are you scorning your brother? For all of us shall be presented at the dais of God. Verse 11, for it is written, living am I, the Lord is saying, for to me shall bow every knee and every tongue shall be acclaiming God. Verse 12, consequently then each of us shall be giving account concerning himself to God. Very important to notice the word account here. It's a saying. In fact, this word was translated many, many times in the Concordant Version, word. We will give a word. We will give an accounting. We will say to God what happened in our lives. It's almost as if God will be holding our hands while we watch the film of our lives, and we'll say, yes, that was me. Yes, that was me. Yes, that was me. Yes, that was me is a lot different than saying, I was the sovereign in my life, and I made these bad decisions apart from you, and I deserve to be damned. Of course not. We're, none of us are being damned or judged at the dais of Christ. We're being awarded but we're for good service, but we're also having the negative things in our life taken away, and this is going to be a good thing. So this accounting is a saying of our lives to God as he holds our hands through this process. The weatherman is accountable for the weather, but he's not responsible for it. This is the best example I have for this. The weatherman, nobody holds the weatherman responsible for the weather. If he predicts weather that's going to ruin your picnic on Sunday, you don't call the weatherman and give him death threats. It's not his fault. You don't throw eggs at his house. It's not his fault. But he's accountable for it. He has to tell you what's going to happen. He should be able to discern and tell you what's going to happen. That's the difference here when we stand before Christ. We're accountable but not responsible. And so, again, you can see that it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of viewpoint. And this whole really series of talks on victimhood began with a conversation I had with my friend about her father and about how there is a spiritual aspect, a high aspect, in which we can see all human beings as victims. And that will soften our opinion of all human beings. But this ought not, and it cannot, eliminate the fact that people are responsible for their actions here on earth and that there are consequences for actions. That some people will go to jail, must go to jail, should go to jail for things like murder, theft, and there is debt paid to society. And in the law of Moses, there was a debt paid to a man who you wronged. But ultimately, it's God doing all these things. And when it's time for that comfort, when it's time to unwind from the stress of considering everything always from the human viewpoint and from the rubber meets the road viewpoint and from the crisis viewpoint, it is so refreshing to know the absolute viewpoint and to be able to step back from the whole thing and say, you know, my dad's a victim too. To step back from the whole thing and say, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. Yes, well, okay, that man hurt his wife. I didn't hurt mine. But there, but for the grace of God, go I. Again, trace it back. It was the example I had from my father and the example he had from his father. Go down the line through the generations. You end up back at Adam and Eve. You end up where we ended up yesterday. Is it sin or is it death? Is it Satan or is it God? Well, it's all of those things. but we think of different things at different times for different purposes. When it suits us and when we need it, we'll think from the absolute viewpoint and we'll be gracious to people. But when it comes time for people to be responsible for their actions and be taken from polite society, then we have the strength also to do that, but without judging them severely, without handing them over to God to be tormented for eternity. You can judge, you can make a judgment and say, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. This person's right. You wronged this person and there needs to be an adjustment made. And we will do that. We will hold you responsible because you are. But ultimately, here's where the peace comes. You can tell that person, you know, even though you have to do your time in jail, God's responsible for this whole thing. And through this thing, He is going to teach you an incredibly valuable lesson. And today, our valuable lesson is knowing that these two viewpoints exist and that God is ultimately over all of this.